Well, things that I will never live down. You know, today's been just an amazing day of worship already, but it has been a day of firsts, I feel like. You know, it has been a day of firsts. I think this is the first time I've ever been called the Right Reverend Gardner on stage. You know, generally people just call me Fenton, you know. But, you know, that's cool. We had just an awesome time of worship. I met Miss Benita. She's a friend of Dale and Sam. Right before service, she's visiting today. And during our worship, you know, she just came and just got on her knees and was worshiping God. You know, I haven't seen that before. But you know what? Again, like I said last week, nobody's here to worship the singers. We're not here to worship the preacher or the evangelist or the reverend. You know, we're not here to worship the church. Right now, we have to do everything in order, right? It needs to be an orderly service. But again, she's here to worship God. You know? It was, you know, seeing, I'd seen Jim Dunn do communion before, but just having that video and just, you know, I think I'd heard that song before. I know I've heard that song on Sacred Head, but just seeing that before, it's just a day of firsts, you know? This is the first time that I'm starting when I'm usually walking down from the stage, you know? So we've had a great service. I'm not going to keep you long. I know you want to get to the St. Patrick's Day special at, you know, Houlihan's or whatever restaurant you want to go to. But yeah, we really, you know, I'm just excited to be here today. It's good to be back in Georgia. We spent part of the week in Kansas City and visiting some old friends. I'll talk a little bit more about that later. But I do need to start off by saying happy St. Patrick's Day. All right? Yeah. I thought what an appropriate day. Margie McLinn, you know, was up here talking about Hands of Christ. And she told me, you know, she and her husband are both, which let me correct, again, another first, something I realized I'd never done before. I walked down and I said, Tim, I'm never going to live that down. She called me Reverend. He said, I'll do you one better. He said, when you went up there, you said her current husband. And I said, let me apologize. I told her, I said, I'm sorry. She said, I didn't even notice. But it is my only husband, my one and only husband. You know, and so, you know, I apologize about that. I meant to say her husband who's currently here with her. And, you know, things just come out how they come out. But one apology. My second apology would be to all of you. If you read Genesis 27 this week, as we said in the bulletin, I'm actually not going to preach on that today. So you're just going to be extra ready for the sermon next week because I will preach on it. But recently, I've just been thinking, honestly, starting with the teen service we had a couple of weeks ago, I've been just thinking about the church. You know, speaking of our teens, they're up having a great time on their teen retreat up in Tennessee. So they're not here. If you see this section empty, that's where they all are. And the middle schoolers are up in class. But, you know, since that electric and amazing service, I've just been thinking about the church. And not Cornerstone Church in particular, but the church. Okay? And so couple that with the fact I just read a book called Letters to the Church by Francis Chan. The leadership team has been reading a book called One Another, focusing on one another relationships in the body of Christ. And ultimately, what really spurred me to change my message was my visit to Kansas City this week. We had a chance to just hang out with a lot of people that we went to church with over at the Kansas City Church of Christ for many years. We were there almost 6 years. And a good friend of ours, there's a couple we were probably the closest to there, her mother unexpectedly died last month. And during that time, we just couldn't arrange to go out right then when it happened. But we said, hey, we want to come the next month. Because for those of you that have lost someone, you know, when it first happens, you generally get a lot of help. And there are people in town, and everybody's there, and it's a month or two later. You know, when everybody's gone back home, and it can be very difficult. So we just wanted to go support. We actually went out there to support and encourage our friends. But we ended up leaving, I felt like, probably more encouraged than them. They ended up kind of having a gathering for us on Friday night, a dinner, a bunch of people from the Kansas City Church came over, and we had, in true Natasha and Fenton fashion, we had a game night with all these people that we hadn't played, you know, games with, and, you know, it was just, we left, so my heart was so full, because I felt like people just came to love up on us. And while I was there, I was just really thinking about, man, this is church. You know, a Friday night game night, and just catching up with old friends, talking to them about what God's doing in our life and seeing what God's been doing in Kansas City. I said, this is church. And it just really moved me and inspired me. And I said, all right, Holy Spirit, you're welcome here. I'm gonna follow your lead. I said, God, I've got to talk about this. I've got to preach about this. Go ahead and turn your Bibles over to Acts chapter 2. And we're gonna talk about the first church. Now, Kindred came a couple, you know, in the month of January and talked about, you know, there are some things that are flat just gonna be different from the first century church and us. We don't have apostles. All right? Apparently I'm the Reverend Gardner, but I'm not Apostle Gardner, okay? All right? We don't have apostles, you know? Do I believe that God is still doing amazing things and amazing miracles in the world? Absolutely. But I don't have some special ability to come lay my hands on you and heal you. That I'm not an apostle, okay? When it first started, they were all Jewish. Last I checked, you know, I'm not. I'm a Gentile, okay? And so there was a part of their worship and their relationship that was still very much tied to the temple, you know? And so there definitely were some there are going to be some differences. You know, they weren't working 9-to-5 jobs. Or if you live and work in Atlanta traffic like Jose's going at like 7 and getting home at like 6, you know? So it's just a different setup. But there are some things that I feel like ought to be the same. Let's read over in Acts chapter 2. We're going to start in verse 40. Peter had just preached the first gospel sermon. And, you know, the Holy Spirit had come down and given these guys, these apostles, the ability to speak in all these other languages. And the Holy Spirit was poured out and he preaches this sermon. And after he preaches this sermon, people are very convicted about it. And they say, what do we need to do? And he tells them, repent and get baptized. And with many other words, we're going to pick up in verse 40. He says, with many other words, he testified and strongly urged them, saying, be saved from this corrupt generation. So those who accepted his message were baptized. And that day, about 3,000 people were added to them. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe. And many wonders and signs were being performed through the apostles. Now all the believers were together and held all things in common. They sold their possessions and property and distributed the proceeds to all as any had need. Every day they devoted themselves to meeting together in the temple and broke bread from house to house. They ate their food with joyful and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. Every day the Lord added to their number those who are being saved. And so often, you know, we look at this and there are many debates on, is this prescriptive or descriptive? Is this just describing what the church was like? Or is this sort of a prescription or recipe of what the church should be like? And I think so often in religion, people always try to put together false dichotomies. It's got to be one or the other. Well, if we're saved by faith, how can we also be saved at the point of baptism? It's got to be one or the other, right? Or, you know, is it how you live your life that really matters or your doctrine that really matters? It's got to be one or the other. And I think the same thing can happen with this scripture is people want to say, well, are we really supposed to be like them or is that just a good example for us? And what I like to say is it's not either or, it's both and. Is this descriptive of what the first century church was like? Absolutely. But is it prescriptive? Are there some things that we should look and say, hey, I want my church to be like this? Absolutely. And so today, what I want to talk about, let's see if the clicker is working today. Maybe. There we go. This verse right here. 4 points. They're going to be brief. 4 points. Title of my lesson today is Be the Church Devoted to, ... if you will. Be the church. Don't just come to church. Be the church devoted to, ... I want to talk about these four things that they were devoted to. And I feel like, yes, we're not all Jews. Yes, we don't have temple service. Okay, yes, we don't have apostles. But these four things we can have. Not just have, we can be, if you will. So, first point, being devoted to the apostles' teaching. Well, are James and John and Peter, are they just walking around out here in Duluth? No. So the question is, well, how are we going to be? How can we be devoted to the apostles' teaching? Read it. Thank you, Laura. You know, so where are we going to find the apostles' teaching these days? In the Bible. Devoted to God's word. Devoted to reading the Bible. Again, I'll say it, maybe not every Sunday, but a lot of Sundays I'm going to say it. It really isn't complicated, right? It's hard being a disciple of Jesus, but it's not complicated. Be devoted to the word. Be devoted to the Bible. Have a quiet time. These guys had to, the reason they met every day, they had to go to listen to the apostles. They weren't able to pull a Bible out on their phone and just read it. The scriptures, the Jewish scriptures, were only at the temple or only at the synagogue. So they had to go there every day if they wanted to study it. But we have the privilege of just pulling it out every single day. How devoted to the apostles' teaching are we? Can you be devoted to something you don't know? How's it going? Just getting into and reading into and diving into God's word. You know, I really appreciate Carly Shortland. One of the first things, I sent her a text last week. One of the things I so admire about Carly is just her quiet times. You know, she's often sharing with me things that she's studying out, and she has this journal and this notebook, and she just really dives into God's word. She's devoted to the apostles' teaching. And Carly was that way before she was on staff. That's just who she is as a disciple of Jesus. A lot of you probably know Chad Garber. He's over at Northview Church. You know, Chad is one of those guys, you know, and he wasn't bragging when he told me this. We were just talking about reading the word. Every morning he gets up and he sends me his quiet time. He just sends it to me. This is what I'm studying out. And we just were talking about something. He says, you know, since I got baptized, since I became a disciple of Jesus, I've read God's Bible. I've read God's word every single day. And he was like, I believed him. He wasn't trying to brag about it, but he's just devoted to the word. I appreciate when Steve Gooch and I often go out to pray, he's always like, hey, this is what I've been reading lately. Devoted to God's word. So I'm gonna do something here, talking about a day of firsts. If you're a first-time visitor or an introvert, we do not normally do this, but this should be fun. We're gonna see how this goes. I'd like to take about 5 minutes, take some of my sermon time here, and what I'd like you to do is with one person next to you, with one in group, no more than three, because you won't finish. With groups of one or two people, what I'd like you to do is just take a moment and read to somebody your favorite passage of Scripture. Paul told Timothy, be devoted to the public reading of Scripture. What I want you to do in a group of two, no more than three, find whatever your favorite Scripture is. You know, I put some up here. If you're a visitor and you've never read the Bible before and you don't know, I'll give you some suggestions. If we can go to the next slide, please. You know, I want you to take a couple of minutes and read your favorite scripture out loud to someone. I'm going to take some sermon time, and I want you to do this. I want to hear it. It should be a buzz in the room. I want you to find, what is your favorite scripture? Mine is probably Acts 8, 26 through 40. I also really love Psalm 103, John 1, 1 through 18, Luke 24, 13 through 35, or Isaiah 53. But whatever your favorite scripture is, I want you to get in a small group of one or two people, and I want you to, it could be one verse, but don't make it a chapter. You know, I want you to take a couple minutes. Go ahead. I'll give you a couple minutes. Read your favorite scripture to someone. right, all right, all right. Another minute. Got another minute. All right, how'd that feel? You know, amen. You know, to me, that is more powerful than you listening to me talk for 30 minutes. And I mean that. One person sharing the word with another person and their love and their conviction about their favorite scripture is more powerful than a 30-minute sermon. You know, God's word, if we can be devoted to God's word, just think about the things that will change in our lives if we can be devoted to God's word. Second thing it says they were devoted to was the fellowship. We can go to the next slide. They were devoted to the fellowship, and the fellowship was broken down on two levels. They're sort of big church, if you will. They met in the temple. So all these thousands of people could get together, they met in the temple. It's sort of like what we do. This isn't a temple, but sort of like what we do on Sundays. We come together. And there is something amazing about all of us being together and worshiping God and praising God and encouraging each other. There's something great about what I like to call big church. A lot of people's first experience with Jesus is in big church. But the second level, the second layer, says they broke bread from house to house. Every day in the temple and in various homes, they continued teaching and preaching. You know, house churches. We call them life groups. Some churches call them family groups or Bible talks. You know, when we went back to Kansas City, it was just so amazing. And I'll tell this story that we left Kansas City with more tears when we moved back to Georgia than when we had initially left Georgia to move to Kansas City. Which is amazing. I was born and bred in Atlanta, as we say. Went to high school and college here. My family's here. But when we went out to Kansas City, and my sister can tell you, you know, who I was when I left and the type of people we were when we came back, she was like, who are you? Because while we were out there, again, in a sense, away from family, away from comfort zone, the church really became our family. We matured as a couple in our marriage. We went out there and we weren't in a great place in our marriage when we moved out there. But so much of it was the house to house. That group of people that we were with on Friday night, it was just like, man, these are our people. We were devoted to the fellowship on the big level and the small level. But the magic really happened on Tuesday or Thursday nights when we would get together in our home. On Friday nights, we would have a joint date night. On Saturdays, when we'd go do something together, we worked for Habitat for Humanity. We did a project together. That house to house. How's it going with your life group? Are you in a life group? If you're in a life group, is your life group committed to meeting regularly? Are you devoted to that fellowship? It was such a magical thing. It was such a magical thing. Just the times we had. And we stayed up till 1:30 in the morning talking on Friday night with people. It was just such a great, great time. But we had been in battles with these people. Some of these people, we had been in their Bible studies when they became disciples. Some had gotten married and moved up to the Kansas City church, and they joined our family group. And we just built such a great relationship with these folks. I was telling Natasha last night, you know, it was amazing, this morning. I'd forgotten about this, but I was reminded when we were out there. Years ago, 2008, we had Bible talk or a family group or whatever you want to call it on the night of the election. And if you think back to 2008 and what was going on in our country and the fear, and both sides were feeling like the other guy was like the Antichrist, and it was just kind of crazy, right? And I remember we had a meeting on the night of the election. And everybody in the room was not on the same page politically. And if you look at the pictures we put up, everybody in our group wasn't married. There were singles. Everybody in our group wasn't young. There were older people. It was a very diverse group. And I remember thinking, you know, that night we got together and we had an amazing time, because this was not a group that was focused on, you know, man, whoever's president is Lord. It was Jesus is Lord. And the foundation of our relationship was so strong that on a crazy divided night in America, we had an amazing time. Next year, there's a presidential election. Unless you've been living under a rock, you know that. So this year, the ads are going to ramp up, all this stuff. You know, how are you going to be in your unity? How devoted to the fellowship? Does Jesus matter more to you than who's in the Oval Office? I had, you know, it just sort of worked out that first communion after the election, I don't know, I was on the list and I was the one doing the communion. And I remember something I said when I got up there, and I talked about, we just need to pray for whoever, right? The Bible literally says, pray for your leaders, right? And I remember a statement I said, and I'm gonna say it to you, church, if you're willing, or don't be willing to go knock on the doors and canvass for some politician, put a sign in your front yard if you've never done that for Jesus. You're willing to take people to the polls on election day so your guy gets in. Are you willing to take people to church so they can hear about Jesus? You're going to go knock on doors. Have you been registered? Have you signed up? Are you going to go knock on doors? Has your name been written in the book of life? You know, and so the challenge, though, is going to be unity. But here's the thing. We're not unaware of Satan's schemes. We know it's coming. But we've got to be devoted to the fellowship. We've got to be devoted to the fellowship. They're devoted to breaking of bread, which is just a euphemism for communion. You know, I appreciate Jim Hanna's message today. If you, again, every Sunday we take communion in this church. Because to me, again, I love preaching, I love singing, I love worship. Those are all important. But to me, the most important thing we do when we come together is to remember Jesus. If we do nothing else but get together and remember his death, burial, and resurrection, then that's what matters. Where we break bread and remember the Lord. What was your time like today? Did you remember Jesus and what he did for you? Final thing. I don't want our teachers to get exasperated. They've been in there with y'all's kids. We got to get them out. They were devoted to prayer. And actually, that word there is they were devoted to the prayer. So I'll give you a little background. At the Jewish temple, they had prayer certain set times of the day. And these guys were Jews, and so they still went. Even after they became disciples of Jesus, they still went regularly. But they were devoted both to collective prayer and individual prayers. And so what I like to do, just like our public reading of scripture, what I'd like to do is I'm gonna ex-nay our last song here for the sake of time. And what I'd like to do is I'd like for us to close out in prayer. Being devoted to prayer. The Greek word there can also mean addicted. They were addicted to the apostles' teaching. They were addicted to fellowship and being together. They were addicted to taking communion and remembering Jesus. And they were addicted to prayer. Are we addicted to prayer? More powerful than all the stuff you can do, the plans you can make, and the schemas you can lay out for the year, and the themes you can have for the church. Being devoted to prayer is something amazing that you can do. So I'm going to shut up here, and what I'd like you to do is, again, groups of no more than one or two other folks, and I'd like for us to close out our service in prayer. So I'm going to give you about three minutes, I'd like to get together with somebody and just pray. And then when we're done, I'll come back up and close us out in a collective prayer, and we'll get our kids and be done with service. So let's have a great time of prayer with somebody around you. Let's go.